Hey, what it do? Hey, what it do? How y'all do? What it be? Hey, it is Clee. Hey. Hey, y'all. Welcome to Retail Therapy with Clee. It's me, none other than your host, Clee. Retail therapy is pretty much everything you can think about, from fashion, business, a good girlfriend convo, anything that you can pretty much think about as it relates to building relationships and being an entrepreneur, a boss, running a business, managing a business, things of that sort. So I want to just get into it. This month is September, and it is National Suicide Prevention Month. So a little story about my experience with suicide ideations, failed suicide attempts, successful suicide attempts. So the beginning of suicide happened for me, where a team member of mine, when I was working in retail, they were no longer working for the company at the time. Probably a year or two later, they were just not in a good headspace. And young guy, at the time, I had to be not even 30. Had to be all about 28, and this young man was about maybe 24, 23, jumped off a bridge into, the train tracks, or so to speak, yeah, where the trains, I guess, dock or park at. Very hurtful, because it's like, dang, you know, it was a good guy when he was working for the company I was working for as a team member, and, you know, quiet, kept to himself. It's just like, damn, you want to be able to help someone through this. And I saw how it affected, you know, his co-workers, who eventually obviously became his friend after the fact. So I saw that happen. That was a little bit devastating, you know, because it's like, damn, this is this close to me. Then a few years ago, I just recently posted, probably the end of August, I recently posted a video, a reel of a car crash, my son, and just some like little happy moments, with the caption of, you know, I don't even remember the caption, but that post was also my next closest and God, hopefully my last. That was my next experience with suicide or an attempted suicide. So my son, about 2 years ago, got into a bit of a depression stage. In this life, whereas to, you know, he was just not happy, not motivated. And as a young black man, you know, a lot of pressure or stresses on him to become, you know, whatever his idea of success is, right? That being said, you know, he was dealing with a lot of grief of a lost loved one. And then obviously, you know, drugs and alcohol were involved, more so marijuana. And he decided that it was a good idea to attempt to take his life. By the grace of God, that was an epic fail. But once we, you know, once we look back over, and even like the sheriff who was trying to identify whoever this car was, he also said that whoever was driving this should not have lived. So my son attempted to commit suicide by running into a steel yard. So it was a lot of pipes, bricks, trucks, a lot of heavy machinery, and just not really the place for anyone who does not work there to be driving into, and let alone pitch black at night. Okay, so again, like I said, by the grace of God, that attempt was not successful. And we were able to pivot quickly and get help. The biggest thing that I noticed is that in helping someone who is having these suicide ideations and who has attempted, is just always create that safe space for them, genuine space for them, you know, not the space of judging, not the space of not really authentically being there for them during this point in time. Like, how obviously I was not the victim of it, but it affected me in the sense of I tried to make sure that me myself, I didn't have any like mom guilt, like, oh my God, what did I do? That, you know, I was more so, okay, what do I need to do now? Now, I ain't gonna lie, in the beginning, like when it first, you know, let's go back. The suicide attempt was, as I stated, a product of being in a bad headspace and having marijuana, you know, the THC, that component mixed in with just that bad headspace, and having this mix of everything together, the headspace just gets a little bit more cloudy, right? It gets foggy, and what you're consuming, such as music, such as, you know, what you're looking at, you know, that goes into your thoughts. And what we do know about the secret is thoughts become things, okay? So you got to be careful and mindful of what you think about. So during this time, I noticed a change in my son's behavior, right? Prior to the suicide attempt, I noticed a change in his behavior, and you know, I was just being a mom, though, asking questions and making sure that he's engaging in things at the time he's working. And, you know, this is what I say 2 years ago. So COVID is still around. Some of the leniencies have been lifted, but, you know, nonetheless, we're still coming out of being in the house for almost a year, right? And mind you, prior to that, he is a graduate of the class of 2020, high school graduate, that is. He had a scholarship to go play football. That didn't go over well because guess what? We had to all be homebound during this time. So no more playing football, not really going to school because it's remote. You're not really doing good because you need that in-person interaction. So that didn't quite work. And then this is where the depression looks as though it stemmed from. His routine has gotten off track, you know, and he couldn't pivot into something else. He couldn't pivot into something else that I guess he would wanted to do. And again, as a mother, I try to my best not be nagging, but be inquisitive in the aspect of like, what do you want to do? Like, what do we do now? Like, this is what I'm working on. This is what I want to use this time of, you know, confinement, so to speak. This time to kind of like plan my businesses. So I'm sending him podcasts and things like that. Like, ooh, let's get our mind right. Let's get our this. Things of that nature, while still allowing him to grow into a young man and giving him his independency. All right, so back to the accident where he attempted to commit suicide. At that point, once the accident happened, you know, I got him from where the accident was or whatever, and I'm just trying to like ask questions. Like, hey, so what's going on? Like, what happened? Are you okay? He's a little bruised up and scuffled. He says he's okay. He's all right. My son is very, not nonchalant, but just quiet. Kind of like reserved like me, which is why I don't put out too many episodes, right? But my son is rather reserved. And he is not really saying much to the questions, one answer, but I just see his mannerism. He's respectful, so it's like, okay, you hear me talking, but you're not really talking back, so what's going on? I'm trying to get him to answer questions, and I'm not gonna lie, in the midst of it, I'm upset, like, what the, like, I'm trying to help, and you're not saying anything, so what is it? Fast forward, I kind of get him to talk. He's talking in parables, he's rambling, you know, he's talking in circles. I just can't like put two and two together. So the gist of it is he felt like someone was after him. I'm like, are you in trouble? Again, he's a young black man. We live in Chicago, and he knows people from all over. He could have gotten into something that he probably didn't want to tell me. Things of that nature, but I'm trying to, again, create that safe space for him to share so that I can help. Mind you, I'm a manager in my career, in my life, so I'm trying to, again, calmly approach him so that I can give him the best help, or I can seek the best resources as possible, if that makes sense. Sorry if I'm rambling, y'all, but I got to get this off. So, you know, I'm really not getting too many places with the conversation with him from our drive back. We have like a 25-minute drive back from where the accident happened to our home. So at this point, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take you to the doctor. You're not really being like coherent. Now, mind you, at this point, my son is what, 19? I know he smokes weed, things like that. Hasn't expressed that he was a drinker at this time. I've seen him like drink champagne toast and things like that. But for the most part, I know he smoked weed, and backtrack during the time, he was smoking weed. I'm like, he's smoking rapper blunts. Y'all know them big, goofy, dumb. I'm like, why are you smoking rapper blunts? What the hell? And this is when I was telling you all that this is when I noticed that he was depressed. With that being said, I know he smokes weed and things of that nature. So I'm like, okay, well, shall we lace? What's going on? You know, this is what I'm thinking. And I'm like, you know what? Let's just go to the doctor and kind of like get you to calm down, because you are, you know, as you're explaining to me what happened, you're not saying that to me. He's not saying that he attempted suicide until we get to the doctor. So, mind you, I'm like, let's go to the doctor and let's see, you know, just get it taken care of. Not get it taken care of. Get this situation, like, try to figure out what's going on, right? That being said, we get to the house, back home, and I'm like, go upstairs, shower, and let's just, you know, get ready to go to the doctor. Let me let y'all know. Why this young man, we pull to the inner driveway, and there's a gate separating, you know, our house from the next house, and then, you know, another block. Get out. I'm like, I'll wait in the car while you just go throw something on after you get out the shower, whatever. This young man jumps the gate and starts running. And that's when I knew, oh, this is something. Cause this shit ain't never happened, right? That's when I knew it was something. So I called my BFF, who is practicing or studying to become a therapist at the time, shared, you know, what's going on with her, and she comes over so that we could look for him. Because at this point, don't judge me, y'all. I mean, y'all can, but y'all vote don't count. But at this point, I was like, if you think being away from me is going to be any better, have at it. You know what I mean? But so now I'm like, I got to get this young man together. Yeah, I got to get this young man some help. So we drove around for about 15 minutes, ended up finding him outside of a Walgreens at the, like, panhandling, right? Looking like he's panhandling. I'm like, okay, I'm calm in the passenger seat. My BFF goes, grabs him, you know, talks to him. He gets in the passenger seat. I sit in the back. I don't say anything. She's talking to him. He's talking back. I don't say anything. She lets him know that we're going to the emergency room, which is about 10 minutes away. Gets to the emergency room, and my BFF actually goes in with him and gets him settled. But from that standpoint, the doctor, the hospital, the emergency room, basically diagnosed him with major depressive disorder, right? He has to obviously go to a psych ward, psych unit, because he is obviously displaying erratic behavior, lucid thoughts, and, you know, hearing things, or at least this is what he's saying. Not really following the conversation, things of that nature. So I wrap all this up. I said, so we did this. So no, it is THC induced psychosis. And that is what has happened. That's why the music, the drill music that he listens to, gets embedded into his head, and he think he's living that lifestyle, which, baby, he's a mama's boy through and through, tried and true. Okay, with that being said, you know, and I share those with him after he came out of that, like, sedated or that psychotic or psychosis, I should say, not psychotic. And I share that with him, and, you know, I'm just talking to him, and with that, in that, studies have shown that young men who are of that age range, so that late teens to like 22, 23-ish, they have a higher risk of getting diagnosed with being like schizophrenic or bipolar. They have those onsets. They begin at that point. So that's why it's super duper imperative that you kind of like catch those behaviors beforehand, because it can get out of hand. Now with my son, for sure, it's marijuana induced, and he comes from a lineage of weed growers and smokers. But that's something that, you know, I'm sharing with him he can't do, because it's not good. Unfortunately, we did start him on medication. And I say unfortunately because I'm not the biggest fan of Big Pharma. I really do believe in holistic health. So that's something that I'm trying to practice so that he can practice. With that being said, also, there has been instances where he has gone back into psychosis, meaning not being around and or not being around me or thinking he can control some of these things on his own. He'll go smoke and he'll try, but it's like that depression, that paranoia, those type of things comes back. And it's not really conducive to his health. So since the accident or attempted suicide, we've had other episodes, like I said, when he would attempt to smoke again, thinking that he could just, no, he can't. In addition to that, though, he has gotten back on the right track. He ended up after the summer after the initial psychosis, which was followed by the attempted suicide. Summer after that, he enrolled into a second chance program to get into Morgan State University, completed that, and successfully went to Morgan State. He did have some stints down there in Baltimore. He did have some resources to reach out to. He completed 2 years before I said, like, you know what? I can't chance you being 3,000 miles away and continuously, you know, not making the best decisions as it relates to the consequences of, you know, what can affect your health. So brought him back home to Chicago. Now he goes to Roosevelt University, which I am super elated about, you know, because he has really shown that this is something that he wants to do as far as going to school. And mind you, this is 2 years later. Okay. 2 years later, and we are still, you know, working through, growing through, you know, the transition, you know what I'm saying? For me, I do often, you know, think of, and that's something that I'm trying to change my mindset of. I do often think of what may happen, or I do often think of, like, okay, ooh, I hope he's doing this, or hope he's not going out to do that, or hope he's not hanging with the wrong people that's going to be too easily the influence. Because, again, I'm not trying to nag, but I am trying to share, like, hey, you are a leader. You've always been a leader. You don't get influenced by anything. You can't do what you used to do. You can't hang around who you used to hang, because they're going to, you know, they might not see the new you. Last year on my birthday, and that was the reason for me and the end of August sharing the post of, you know, his accident and, you know, things like that. Because last year I turned 40. Mind you, I'm a lavish Leo who has not been so lavish lately. And lavish in a sense of, you know, we're supposedly these grandiose, but I'm really just chill. A vibe all the time, but just really chill. But I say, I'll let this say, last year was my 40th birthday. And I didn't really do much for it. Sorry about the sirens. I told y'all I live in Chicago. I really didn't do much for it. I was really in not the best spirits. And I love birthdays, especially my own. And then I'm Leo. I celebrate my birthday a whole month long, but I really wasn't in the best spirits because of these things. And I think my son had just went through a psychosis, had just came out of a psychosis. So it's like, oh my God, what is going on? You know what I mean? Not questioning. It's just like, it's draining. Because one thing that you don't ever want to play with people is your mental. You know what I mean? So now I'm looking at it like, damn, the damn medicine's probably having him this way, or he could, or it might not be the right medicine. Or do I need to have 24-hour home? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just trying to think, like, man, I gotta adjust so many things, or do so many things. And mind you, I'm in school at this time also. That's a story for another day. But I'm in school at this time also, and I'm just not really feeling like celebratory or whatever. But my birthday was on a Sunday last year, and I went to church, Pastor John Hanna, And I cannot think about the topic, but it really spoke volume. Me and my son went to church with my cousin friend, Dr. Tricky, Doc Nefertiti on Instagram. We went there and, you know, he broke down crying because, you know, the pastor Hannah got to him and just, you know, spoke to him, I should say. And then he did an altar call. So once my son broke down crying, my cousin took him out, you know, and consoled him. And then they did an altar call. I went up to the altar. Mind you, I'm very reserved again. You know, I'm going to pray, clap my hands, and, you know, thank the Lord. But during this altar call, Pastor Hannah has told us to stay and speak your adorations and your, you know, your thankfulness and your request, baby. When I tell you, I shouted to the rooftop. I said, God, give me my son back, period. And that was last year, right? Let me tell you what a difference that God, what a difference a year can and make and what God can do. So last year, I shouted that to the rooftop. He went back to school. School went well. First semester, second semester, you know, no, he didn't go back. So he went back in January and, you know, the turning 21, there, and he had his one last psychosis towards the end of the school year. And that's when I was like, nope, I'm moving you back. This is what's going on. Now, mind you, from last year to this year, I've transitioned to a new industry. I'm in student affairs. So inside of student affairs, I do resident life. I help with curating the activities and programs for the residents that live in our student, in our housing, you know. With that being said, in addition to doing that, I am surrounded by others who are the same age range as my son, having similar suicide ideations, triggering to say the least. But my son was, I told my son, like, you know what, this is it. I got to move you from Baltimore, bring you back home. We're no longer living in our two-bedroom apartment, okay? I've minimized because we are supposed to be maximizing our resources. We had a whole plan on what we were doing as far as a real estate standpoint in Baltimore for him and things like that. So I'm like, okay, son, you about to come back and live on this let out couch at 21. And I know he didn't want to do that. So when I say all of that, he did need to be back home closer to me under my bosom and just understand, like, I do want to be out on my own, be independent. But baby, when I tell you he was over that couch, he like, let me get back into school. Let me get back into, you know, working, things like that. So right now he works a good job, full circle. He works back in retail where I left. He's back into school. He's taking up psychology, which is also going to assist him with communicating his thoughts, his feelings, and making better decisions and just understanding himself. He just a week ago moved out from off this let out couch into his own dorm room now. And it is really a blessing to see the growth. I continuously ask and pray and thank God, you know, make sure that I have great communication and articulation of how to kind of like get whatever the point is across that I need to get to him where he will listen. I'm continuously asking God to pour into resources into my life so that I can introduce them to him. I'm continuously to ask God to kind of like continue to cover him and cover me, my mind, his mind, so that we both can make better decisions for one another. But I always pray to make sure that I do not worry, because I know that this is just a journey that I'm on indirectly, but my son is directly on. So I always make sure that I am being mindful that it's more about him than it ever is about me. Now, granted, I'm the mom. I'm still going to have to deal with, and that's something that I share with my son. And then he also knows too, like, hey, you know, stay on top of your medicine, stay on top of your therapy appointment, stay on top of your doctor's appointment, you know, stay on top of school, because guess what? This is your way of being semi-independent. You don't want to stay back on this couch, son. So, you know, there's no pressure. Just learn, continue to learn, right? I hope I wasn't rambling, but I probably was rambling a little bit. But yeah, I just had to get that off because it is National Suicide Prevention Month. And the biggest thing is that it is okay. It is okay. If you have someone, you know, if you have someone or you know someone that is not in the best state, you know, all you can really be is a talking ear to them. A listening ear to them. You know, questions, get them, you know, to just express. Seriously, I have some information on like some suicide prevention, some more suicide prevention tips. You can follow me on my page. CLE, that's CLE underscore Scott, that's on Instagram, which is where I post most of my content and things, but you can follow me there, and I will promise you that I will put some things up. I'm gonna release this, but yeah, hopefully I'm not sounding, you know what, I'm gonna stop saying that. I'm gonna sound the way I sound. If y'all get the message, you get the message. I'm gonna get better. If I'm gonna get greater later, if that's what God intends me to do. So peace, y'all. And I pray that each and every one of you listening to this have a great rest of the day, and you send this message or you deliver your own message to help someone prevent suicide. Okay, listening ears always. Love y'all. Bye.